Hello.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Fantastic. I can tell you're in a quiet room because I hear the echo. Okay, so just to recap a couple of important factors first. So you had a goal tracker that was given to you at the workshop, right?
I have a what?
A goal tracker.
What's a goal tracker?
At the workshop. It's what we went through during the workshop.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That you signed your name to, all the intangible and tangible benefits of being a homeowner?
Yes.
Okay, where did you put that in your home?
It's in my shop.
It's at your shop. Okay.
Yes.
So what I want you to do is I want you to make a copy of it, at least maybe two copies, and put it at two more locations. And I want you to text me pictures of where you put it. And maybe you standing there like a selfie next to it?
Okay.
Okay. So I can document your file. Because what that does is, you know, I'm going to invest a lot of time and energy into working with you. And if I know that what you're shooting for, if I know you have those goals, then we will, from consultation to consultation, briefly touch on them just to make sure you're still motivated for the same thing, because I'm helping you move in that direction towards your goals, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the objective. So if we stay positive, we stay motivated by our goals, then we have a much better chance of succeeding together, correct?
Correct.
Fantastic. So I look forward to getting those text images of you and your goal trackers in a couple of different locations, okay?
Okay.
second of all, let's start by looking at your credit profile.
I don't want to look at that.
Well, tell me what you think your credit is and why you think it's so bad.
Well, the last year or so, I had a car that blew up, and I had GAP, I had full coverage insurance. They did not pay the full, they did not pay the remaining of the balance for my car, so it left me with $8,000. And then I also had two credit cards. When that happened, I just kind of say bump it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three things that I know for the past last year. It's eating up my credit.
So if we could get those removed from your credit, how excited would you be?
I have a party for my birthday.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to do. Those three things we're going to attack and get them removed off of credit. But while we're doing that, we need to focus you on what you can do, and that is you need to establish new credit. Okay, so here's what I recommend that you do. I'm going to send you a list of some of the other credit card companies that you can go to. And
And
basically, do you have a bank anywhere?
Oh, of course.
So I'd start there at your bank and say, hey, I'd like to apply for a small credit card, $300 could be, or $500, no more than $500, okay? Can you do that?
I don't know what my credit, would I be able to do that though?
Well, the only way you will know is if you go do it, number one. Don't let your past credit history, because many times where you bank will be, what they may do is come back to you and say, yeah, we'll do it, but you might have to put $100 down towards.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So there are certain terms. So you got to reestablish credit. You got to have one solid year of trade line activity and credit history before we can even look at applying for a loan. Okay? You realize that?
Yes.
Okay. So with that being the case, we got to get you going on some positive trade lines. And then what's going to happen is once you get one, two, and then maybe a third credit card set up and then as we go consultation to consultation, we're going to watch closely your balances, and we're going to tell you, okay, you need to keep it at a certain ratio, month to month, okay? And so once you get your first card, you'd contact me, you text me, hey, I got my first card, and then I would tell you what to do, you know, and I'll walk you through the process all the way through and tell you exactly what to do as you get your cards and how much to spend, how much to pay down, because you never want to pay your credit cards down to zero. You know that, right?
Oh, I did not know that.
Okay, well, now you do. First rule of thumb, never pay them to zero, because if you carry a zero balance on an active card, that does nothing for you. So typically, you want to use about 40% of your availability. So if you have $100 available, you want to spend $40 on it, incur $40 worth of debt on that $100. Okay, by going out and spending $40 on gas or whatever. And then when the bill comes in, you're going to pay that $40 down to about $20. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And carry $20 into the next cycle, and then add another $20, $25 to it, and then pay it down to $20. That's the cycle, you know, and I'm using $100 as your availability. But that's the formula for building good credit, is using it a little bit, a certain amount, never exceed 50%. So if your available credit card availability line of, you know, the amount you can spend is 100, never let it go over $50. If it's 500, never go over 250. If it's 1,000, never go over 500. So 50%, never let it go over. But you want to hit right around 40% in expenditures. And then pay it down to about 20, 25%. Every month that you can do that, the more months you have on multiple trade lines, your score will start to go way up.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So it's called trade line management. And that's something I'll work closely with you on over the next 6 to 8 months. Eventually, you'll get it down. You won't need me as much anymore. Because you'll know what to do, but I'll be there with you all the way to the point where you feel comfortable like you can manage it on your own, okay?
Okay.
In the meantime, we'll work on those three negatives. What we're going to do...
I have a question, quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
How far back y'all go, y'all look on credit?
We go as far as the credit bureaus show us.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so right now we have a challenge in that I'm not sure whether it's your address or whether it's the fact that we ran it with D'Angelo on there, but when we put you in the system for the credit bureaus, it came back not, let me see what it says. It says... Your current address is 1214 LaBelle Street, apartment 174, correct?
No.
What's your current address?
No, that's not it.
What's your current address?
It's 3875 South St. Pablo Road.
Okay. And so was LaBelle Street the previous one?
Yes.
I see. Okay. So that was the problem. We had the addresses reversed. So I'm going to get that fixed. I may have to call you. Let's see what else I got here. 590-634-5333. That's your social, right?
Say it again.
590-634-5333.
Yeah.
Let's see what else I got here. I'm also going to probably, because you've taken D'Angelo off and we're right here at the beginning, I'm probably going to resend you the enrollment packet with just you on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I sent this over to... All right, let's see here. Yeah, so I don't know why I have your 1214 as your current address. All right, and so apartment 508 on San Pablo, that's your current address, so I got to flip that. How long have you been at the where you're living at now?
I've been there for 2 years.
Okay, and how long did you live at the LaBelle Street?
Since 2004.
10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to readjust that and see what comes up with the credit profile so I can see, because it's telling me there was an error, and so I needed to find out either your social was wrong or your address was wrong or your date of birth was wrong.
Okay.
Your date of birth is 12/7/1997, right? I'm sorry, 1979.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's got to be the address. So it's not recognizing that when we reverse it, it's not recognizing it. So it's not a big deal. I'll just we'll straighten that out, and that'll be our next conversation once we get your credit up. Okay, and so so let's talk about. So I'm going to send you some trade lines. You're going to go to your bank. I'm going to send you links to trade lines, and you're going to go to your bank, and you're going to set up at least one credit card. But our goal within 90 days is to have 3 active credit cards, okay?
3?
3, okay. Because imagine managing 3, and every 60 days, each one of those trade lines bumping your score up by 15 points. Think about that for a second. You got to get into the 600s, right, with your score. So The best way to do that in the shortest amount of time is 3 trade lines actively being managed properly will give you about 10 to 15 points per trade line every 60 to 90 days. So if you're just doing one, you're getting 10 to 15 points. It'll take you 2 years. But if you do 3, it'll take you about a year or less. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if you get one, and then you get a second, and you get a third, okay, you know, as long as within 3 to 4 months you've got that third one online, that's the goal. You see what I'm saying? So you don't have to go out and get 3 right away. You just get one and start using it, and then you get a second, start using it, and then you get a third. And within 3 to 4 months you should be ready to have that third one, okay?
Yeah.
And again, I'll be here helping you. You know, before you commit to any credit card, you call me and, you know, or text me, and we get together, and I say, okay, what are the terms they're offering you? And I'll tell you whether, you know, good, bad, ugly, whatever. Okay?
Okay.
Now, next, let's talk about your budget. Now, budgeting is important for several reasons. First and foremost, it's important to know where you stand so I can advise you, okay? And the way that I like to do that is by determining your monthly expenditures against your monthly income, okay? And so what I need you to do, we can either do it right now on the fly, or you can take your time and do it and email it to me, but I need a list of all of your expenditures and where your money's going. And a subtotal. So if I was to do it with you now, I start down the list and say, okay, you know, what are you spending on rent? What are you spending on insurance? On a car? On food? On this? On your cell phone? You know, what is your electric bill? What, you know, identify all of your monthly expenditures and what they create a subtotal. Do you want to do that with me now, or do you want to do it on your own and email it to me?
I want to do it now.
Okay.
I'm prepared for that.
All right. 1 second here, and I'll pull my budgeting list up, and we'll go right through it. All right, so how much right now are you spending on housing?
My rent is 400. And the rent, well, let's say 916, because I got a, the shop too.
So 916 including your shop?
Yeah.
Let's separate those out. What are you paying for your shop?
It's 516.
Okay. All right. What are you spending on your utilities at home?
100.
And what are you paying at the shop?
About $50.
All right, and do you spend any money on health insurance?
No.
Okay. How about food and groceries?
Ooh, food. I say a month.
Not eating out. I'm talking about like going to Walmart or Wendy's.
Oh, yeah. I say about $400 a month.
Okay. And what do you spend on eating out?
Eating out?
Yeah. Burger King, McDonald's, Popeyes.
See, the thing is, I don't do fast food. I go out to eat.
Okay. So Longhorns, Outback. Copeland.
If I go out to eat, like, say, twice a week, I spend about $50.
$50 a week, so $200 a month on eating out. Okay, and do you have a car payment?
Yeah. Insurance and car payment that came up to... Insurance is $160, car payment is $426.
$426?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much do you spend a week in fuel?
A week in, I spend, it takes $40 to fill my tank up every week.
So about $160 a month? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you spend money on cable TV or entertainment, things of that nature?
Yeah, cable is $139.
Okay. And mobile phones?
And cell phone is about $200.
How many lines is that?
That's me and my daughter and my son.
Three lines?
Yeah.
Wow. Who are you with?
T-Mobile.
Really? We got to get that down.
Yeah, I'm trying to pay off the phone so I don't have to keep paying all that money.
Oh, $200 isn't just for service. It's including devices, right?
Yeah, the phone, the insurance, and everything else.
Okay, that's reasonable. Do you have any other expenses like daycare?
Oh, no, sir.
Do you have grooming expenses, clothes, shopping?
I do, but I don't. Mm-hmm.
If you were to take a whole year and say, on average, even though it may only be twice or three times a year, you know, what would you say on an average year that you spend in clothes and shopping to splurge on yourself?
Well, the way I do it is like every time I can go somewhere to an event, I spend about $200, basically. So let's say four times out there, yeah.
Four times? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So four times 200 is about $800. And if we divide 800 into 12, let's just say that, let's just say that's about $50 a month.
Okay.
And we're going to call that events. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Is there any other expense that you could think of that I didn't ask you about?
Well, I have another one, my daughter.
What do you mean?
I send her about $200 a month.
Okay. So, is that child, is that alimony or is that child support?
No, it's not child support. It's just, she don't stay with me, but like when she needs certain things.
Okay. $200 a month for your daughter. What else?
I get my hair done. Do that count?
Yeah. That would be under grooming. How often do you get your hair, you know, your nails, your hair, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I get my nails done, you know, once a month. That's $25.
Mm-hmm.
And my hair done 4 times out of the year. That's about $150.
Okay. I'm just going to say $40 a month for grooming. Averaged out. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else you can think of?
Nope.
Okay, so we're at $3,041 a month, and I'm going to say...
Hold on, wait, $3,000 and what?
$3,041.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
I'm going to add a little, what I call a miscellaneous, you know, for things that you forgot that you can't think of. So, and sometimes some of those expenses are a little higher, some a little low, but I'm going to add just a little bit to round it up. So I'm going to add $159 for miscellaneous. So that brings you up to $3,200 a month.
Uh-huh.
So let's just say your average monthly expenditures is roughly $3,200, right?
Right.
Now, what is your monthly income?
It's between... Well, my monthly income is all barely between 25 to 35 a month.
Okay, so on the month that it's 2,500, you cut back on things? Is that what it is?
Oh, of course. I have to.
Okay. And then the month that you're doing a little better, you know, so your budget, it flexes based on your income. So is that correct?
Yes. Right. Yeah. Because I can't go out to eat. I can't do what I want. The time is low. I have enough to pay my bills.
So we're going to call that a flex budget. I know exactly what that is and how that works. I've been on my budget's been very similar, and so the challenge with flex budgets, you know, we have to find a way for you to save money, and so the objective here is to try to.
I forgot. That I put $500 a month into this pot thing I was telling you about.
Oh, the pot?
Yeah, the pot.
Every month?
Yeah, every month.
Okay. On the pot, tell me again how that works.
Okay, let's say I'm going to use you, your family, and I.
Okay.
So it's you and your two daughters and your wife. And me, right?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so each one of us put in $500 a month, right?
Okay.
Let's say you go first. All that money go to you. and you start it all over, and the next person, your wife, the second person, all that money go to her.
Yeah.
Then your daughter, then the other daughter, then me.
I gotcha. And the objective here is what? Is to be in line for your turn to collect the pot.
Yes.
Okay. So, in theory, how many right now are in your succession?
All of us right now, I think is 24, and we on hand number 8, because one of my friends just collected his money.
Okay, how much did he collect?
He had her whole hand. He collected $11,000.
Okay. So how many months did it take of him paying $500 a month before he collected 11?
See, the thing is with him, what they did where he got some of his money that he saved up, right? But it's everybody else's money. He still got to put that money back in a pot. You get what I'm saying? Every 2 weeks till it's over, everybody collect their money. See, well, the way I did my hand is I'm getting mine at the end. So everything I'm getting, I don't got to give nobody else no money.
So how much do you think you're going to get?
I'm going to get $6,000.
Okay. How much are you going to pay in?
$6,000.
So you're going to pay in $6,000 and you're going to get out $6,000.
Yes. It's just like a saving. It's not you getting more. It's like when you get in the beginning, it's like basically it's a loan because you got to give that money back every 2 weeks. You just get a loan with no interest.
Okay. But if you don't borrow the money or take money out, you're just saving money.
Yeah, I'm just saving money.
I see. Okay. So that brings your monthly expenditure up to $3,700.
Yeah.
Okay, and when are you due to collect on that?
Between May. Yeah, by May.
Okay, so on one hand, I'm excited to see that you're saving. On the other hand, I'm nervous because I'm not familiar with that type of savings method. But if you've done you've done it before.
Oh yeah, I've done it before.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I was able to save up to open up my own shop.
I see. Okay, and so let's strategize for a moment conceptually. You know, you got to get the 10 grand. Well, you got 9,500 to go with us. So tell me how you thought you'd want to budget that and do that with everything that you got going on.
Oh, with everything that I got, what I came up with, I'm just going to not do my hair. Not spend money to get my hair done and not going out to eat.
Okay, and then what will that do?
Then I would save that money to put it towards that, towards savings.
Towards the GFC?
Yes.
Okay.
And then my cable got to go. I know that much.
Okay. Yeah, now you're getting more realistic there because I know you have a flex budget, but in a flex budget or even in a stable budget, it comes down to what we call the differential. If you don't have a differential, you got to create it. The differential between your expenditures monthly and your income. And so if your expenditures are meeting your income, you know, there's no differential, then something's got to give. Now, with you saving the $500, normally what we do, let me back up and explain normally. Normally, you know, a person that I normally do a budgeting conversation with, they don't save money. They don't know how. They spend what they make. And so what we encourage them to do is create the differential in the first month and each month thereafter, trying to push that differential as big as they can get it so that they're living within their means. And then what we do is, let's say that differential, you know, let's say the average person, not you, but let's say another person, they bring home $3,500 and we get their expenses to $3,000, and that's pretty consistent every month. That creates a positive differential of $500. You with me?
Right.
Then what we would do is we'd say, okay, can you save $250 in your own personal savings account? And every time you come into a consultation, we're going to take a look at that balance and see if you're doing what you're supposed to do. And then $250 is going to be ACH into your GFC. And so that's normally 50-50. And then what happens is, if they can't do it, if they're struggling, they're dipping into it, then we just say, okay, now all of it's going to go into your GFC until you fund. And so in your situation, you're already saving $500 every month like clockwork into, and it's kind of like you have to, because you'll lose your money, right, if you don't?
No, you don't lose your money. It just, you just have to wait when it's over to get whatever you saved up.
I see. So are you every month hitting five, or is there some months where you don't hit it?
Have you been consistently
hitting it every month?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. I'm impressed. So in addition to that, here's what that really means. In May, you're going to have roughly $6,000 that can go into your GFC.
Yes.
Okay. So all we got to do is find a comfortable budget for the difference of $3,500, right?
Right.
Between now and then. And here's what I mean. It doesn't have to be the whole $3,500. Okay? So I don't know that you should give up your hair. Okay? I don't know that you should give that up. That's something that I know my wife would not be happy if she couldn't go get her hair cut. However, you know, every so often she and the girls, and they go get their nails done. That's a quality and standard of life that...
Yeah, but with me that I do hair, we could do each other hair at the shop.
Okay.
But I don't like getting braids.
I gotcha. So you're going to change how you do it to save money, but still,
yes,
still get it done. Okay, that's good. That's smart. And then, but the cable, I definitely agree with that. I have, my wife and I, we cut our cable off in our home when we started the foundation 8 years ago. So we haven't had a cable TV bill in 8-9 years.
Ooh.
And so I believe that there's enough, not internet, we have internet. And so our children have all have laptops and tablets and smartphones. And so if there's something they want to watch, we out of their money that they get through our budgeting in our household, you know, if they want to have Netflix, if they want to have Hulu or something like that. I think they all have Netflix.
Yes.
And basically they watch their shows and it's a more, I want to say, economical way of having extracurricular entertainment through the media than paying the cable company, you know. So I would agree with that.
But nothing.
Yeah. And so make those adjustments, and that'll be a lifelong improvement to your budget, I think. Was there something else you were considering?
Well, to find out my phone, because that's another thing about that phone.
Your T-Mobile?
Yeah, the T-Mobile.
Well, if you have three lines, it seems like to me, because we're with T-Mobile too, you know, you should be able to get your service down to about $110 a month for three lines, maybe $120. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know your devices. So if you've got brand new Apple iPhones and...
Yeah, we got the... Well, I got a 6 Plus and the rest got a 6.
So, yeah, if you got new phones and you're probably spending $100 to $150 or something a month on those phones, yeah, you're going to have to wait until you pay them off. There's nothing you can do. That is what it is, so... Other than paying them off, but that would require money. And again, you know, any money coming in going forward, you're going to try to put away into your GFC. So that's kind of so I don't see anything you can do there. You know, eating out, sure, you could eat out less. and eat at home more. So from everything I see on the list, you know, how much would you say would be a comfortable commitment with making the adjustments you just described that you would want to put into the GFC between now and May?
Like right now, I say $100 a month.
$100 a month? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. So we'll do $100 a month. And then, so starting in December, so December, January, February, March, April, May. So by the time we hit May, there'll be at least $500 there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the original $500, that's $1,000. And then you're going to get $6,000 from the pot, right?
Right.
So then now you'll be at $7,000.
Yep.
And then from there, you only have $3,000 to go. And we can keep doing the, you know, do you get to pick the $500 a month? Do you get to pick how much that is, or do they?
What you mean?
How much?
No, you could do $500 a month or $1,000 a month.
Oh, okay. So it's not. You can't do like $250 or $200. You know, you have to do $500 or $1,000.
No, it's $500. Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, maybe what you'll do to finish out the GFC, and we'll make this decision at that time based on your credit, is instead of starting the pot again, maybe you'll put that $500 into the GFC, so that you can, in 6 months you'll be fully funded.
Okay.
You know, because it's the same thing, you know, and then you can start the pot again. Now here's another downside to the pot, though. Okay, I'm gonna tell you. I mean, I understand what you're doing, and I applaud you, because if you're able to commit to that and you keep that commitment, that demonstrates a lot to me. But how do we prove how you're saving money to a bank? You can't take that system to and show them to a bank. True?
You sure can't. Nope.
So when we go to get you submitted to a loan officer, they're going to ask for the last 6 months of your bank statements.
Yep, there ain't no savings there.
Okay. So you can see, for the next 6 months, it's not going to really matter. But from May through November, those 6 months may be critical.
Okay, you say from May to November?
Well, again, I don't know what your credit's going to look like, but, you know, when we get you to a certain point in your credit, I'm going to tell you, okay, you're about 3 to 6 months out from being able to get an approval. Okay, so when you're at that point, how you save money is going to shift. In theory, by then you're close to, if not completely funded on the GFC, but now you're saving money for different purposes. Those purposes are specifically this: to save money in your account to show the lender that you are responsible with your money. Okay?
Okay, so the money has to be in there.
It has to be in your checking account or your savings account, separate from the money you have with us.
That's separate from...
And it can't be in the pot. That's what I'm saying. We have to break away from...
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now, it's
just going to sit there until after closing. Okay, now after closing, you could take that money and get a new car. You can go get furniture for your new house. You can go and put it into another pot. Or you could just keep saving it, whatever. I mean, it's your money but it's just going to sit there. And as much as you can have sitting there, the better. One of the things that the bank looks at when they are pre-qualifying you is your ability to have what's called reserves or savings. They call them reserves. Reserves are money set aside just in case something happens, to be able to, if you lose your job, for example, or your business goes out and you're not able to make money for a month or so, can you make your payment? And if you have reserve savings, you can make it through the tough times. So the larger your reserves, the more attractive you are to the lender. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Okay, so basically right now, I have to save in my account and plus save with you. Well, come
no.
on.
No, right now you don't need to save in your account because the pot is like your account. Okay?
Okay.
But we don't need to track it right now because it's only going to be important the 3 to 4 months leading up to the closing.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Which that's going to be a problem. Again, once I figure out the address issues with your credit and get your full report, that'll be our next consultation. That will be determined upon that. In other words, your funding and how, just keep in mind, there's going to have to be a shift in how you save money at some future point. Leading up to when we're closing, there's got to be money there. And the more, the better.
Okay.
Okay? And so it seems like to me you have a good handle on your money and you're smart with your money, and that's the first step. You're already conscious of what you're spending, and even though you have a flex budget, you seem to be managing it. For the most part, you're doing better than most, I would say, okay, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And so we just got, you know, the other thing, you know, we got to consider is, you're with doing $100 a month with us and doing the pot and your income where it is, you don't have room for a catastrophe in your life. Right?
No.
So I want you to consider that for a moment. Another consideration that needs to be considered in one's budget is what happens if, you know, the car you're driving now blows up. You had that happened to you a year ago, right? So, or 2 years
yeah.
ago. So you have to be prepared for that and not throw all the work that we're going to do. I don't want to throw it away.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we got to make sure that we are prepared. And that's why sometimes it takes a little longer to get to a home because our ability to execute is based on your means, your income against your debt, against your ability to save, against your ability to pay your debt and manage credit cards. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So taking your situation, you know, we have to juggle preparedness of and saving money against your current expenses, against a plan we know you're going to have a certain amount of money in your savings account. You're going to have these things all come together. And so that's the objective, is to work together with all of those considerations. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Now let me ask you, on your car, what year is your car?
My car is a 2007. I bought it buy here, pay here for a year and a half payment.
Okay. It's a 2007 what?
Infiniti M something. 35.
It's a SUV?
No, it's a car.
It's a sports car. It's like a...
Yeah.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay, and what's the miles on it?
The mileage is 100,000.
Okay, are you keeping up with the maintenance on it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, between now and then, we're more than likely, you know, because, well, how many, are you putting a lot of mileage on your car each month or very little?
Well, I drive about 30 miles per day, if that. Yeah, about 30 miles per day.
Okay. That's about 900, eight to 900 a month, roughly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say about 1,000 a month.
About 1,000 a month. Okay, that's 12,000 a year. That's so you own the car, and it'll probably be worth, if it's an 07, it'll probably be worth $2,000 to $3,000 in a year and a half when you pay it off. Just knowing with the mileage and the year, maybe $4,000, depending on the condition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, another thing you're going to want to prepare for is, you know, depending on where we are with the house, what we don't want to have happen is we get to the point where we're a month or two away and you're like 3 months away on your car or paying it off. You know, I may advise you at that time, okay, let's pay off the car with some of your savings and get your debt down. So you're going into the mortgage with less debt. The bank likes that. And then wait to get another car until after you close on your home.
Yeah.
You know, so things like that, you know, are going to be critical in how and the approach. And my job is to be there for you. So every time you have to make a financial decision, before you do, please, please get with me first.
Okay.
So I can help you consider all the things you need to consider. And I can provide the resources potentially necessary to help you make the best financial decisions that are going to best give you the opportunity to be able to get that approval and get your new home, okay?
Right.
Sound good?
Sound about right.
Okay, so I'll summarize what we just discussed and send out an email to you, probably sometime this afternoon or this evening, and then we will, if I don't get in touch with you by Thursday this week, I need you to follow up with me by text. If I haven't gotten in touch with you again by Thursday evening, send me a text.
Okay.
You know, and the text is very simple. Are we doing a credit consult ? You know, you could just put credit consult ?
Okay, I have a question. What's the less time somebody could get a house, and what's the longest you ever seen somebody get a house?
You mean what's the shortest?
Yeah, shortest.
The quickest? Sean Dunn did it in 5 months. And he had money, a lot of money saved, and he had a solid job history. He had two things on his wife's credit that we had to remove, and they were able to find, you know, so everything came together for them really quick. The longest is 4 years and counting. I have someone in the program right now that's been in the program for 4 years that's still going.
Yes.
It's all, the timeline is completely up to you. It's a mixture between you and your ability to do what you have to do or should do and your circumstances. Because sometimes your circumstances change, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you may not be able to adapt quick enough, and it may slow that down or may take longer. The worst thing you could do is be the reason why it takes longer because you don't do the right things.
Right.
And if you're coming to me on a regular basis, I'll hold you accountable and keep you from making bad decisions. At least I'll encourage you not to do it and give you the reasons why.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Look at me as your accountability partner. Matt, should I do this? Matt, I think I want to do this. And I'm going to say, well, if you do this, then this is the ramifications. Do you really want to do that? Do you want to add time to your timeline? Would you like to delay the gratification of that? Like, for example, I have some families that, you know, every year they spend $3,500 on a family vacation. I'm like, okay, you know, sure. I understand that. My wife and I and our family, we like the vacation too. But, you know, for a good 1 or 2 years, maybe you should delay that while you're saving money so that you can, you know, something's got to give in your budget, in your expenditures, so that you can get where you need to be to get the house that you want and change your lifestyle from renting to home ownership. And so at the end of the day, it's up to you. It's up to that family if they want to travel less and vacation less, or if they want to eat out less or get their hair done less, or you know, whatever it is to create the, you know, or sometimes maybe you should consider, you want to speed up your timeline, make more money.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a plan for that?
I'm planning on getting me a part-time job.
Okay. I see. I didn't know that. So that'll make a big difference. If you can continue to run your shop and make what you're making while simultaneously having another income, that will change your budget big time.
Yeah, I'm going to give me a part-time job.
Okay. As long as that part-time job doesn't take away from the income that you have from your shop that you currently have in your budget, if you just replace it, but you make less, so let's say your part-time job brings you $1,000 a month, but your income from your shop goes from 35 to 22.
No.
You see what I'm saying? You just kind of counter-defeated the purpose.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to have more income.
Sure. What type of job are you looking at?
Well, right now, I went and filled out an application at the hair shop, at the hair stores, I mean.
Just being an attendant at a gas station?
No, the hair store. Hair stores, like where you buy hair product for hairs and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah,
and that's
right,
it fits in line with what you do. You might could get business that way.
Yes.
Ah, I like
it.
I like how you think.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. That works. That's mm-hmm. a great idea. So I would support that. If you called me and said, "Hey, man, I want to talk to you about something," that's what I'm doing. I would go, "Yes, that's a great idea," because you're getting an hourly pay to increase your budget and also an opportunity to expose your business to people coming through your lines and networking. So 100% go for it.
Yep. Thank you.
So as soon as you get that locked down, of course, you make sure you let me know. And so as you start getting those checks, we can readjust your budget. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. So the next consultation in about a week or so will be on your credit, your credit profile specifically, once we straighten out your address. I'll send a summary of what we discussed now. I'll also send you a list of credit card companies that you can call and apply. Even though you have this list, start with your bank first.
Uh-huh.
If they give you a card, just let me know.
Okay.
Because you just start with one only first. Once you have it in hand, you let me know, and then I'll tell you, go spend this amount on it, and, I'll be there with you the whole way, okay?
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, that would be it.
Anything else I can do for you today?
No, if I do, I'll text you.
Okay. Awesome. Have an outstanding day. Talk to you soon.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.